In the fall of 2013, Gary Temple Bodley began channeling a group of non-physical teachers known as Joshua. Soon thereafter, Joshua asked Gary to start writing. They have since produced 4 books and answered hundreds of questions in written form. In the spring of 2016, on the Law of Attraction cruise, Gary underwent hypnosis and Joshua spoke through him for the first time. Since that time, Gary has been practicing channeling Joshua verbally in live weekly calls with one-on-one students. These Joshua calls are now available to those of you joining us on the Leading Edge of Thought. This is the expansion of the Law of Attraction. This is Joshua Live. We're thrilled you're here.
We are thrilled to be here.
Welcome back.
Now we've got comedians.
Well, we thought it'd be fun to punch it up a little bit, to have a little excitement, not to be as boring as we normally are, but to exude some enthusiasm and interject some enthusiasm into this conversation. Because what we see is happening is that you were born enthusiastic, you were born free, you were born playing and having fun, and then you just got a little bit heavier. You got to be a little bit slower. You got a little bit quieter. You learn to stay within the lines. And now what we're saying is, what you knew when you were a child coming into this environment was all you needed to know. How you behaved as a child without the constraints of rules and regulations, but just doing whatever you were inspired to do in the moment, going from laughter and fun and interest and exploration and boredom and worry and back into fun quickly and easily is the way to live life in a physical reality. It is as simple as that. Having fun, not caring about what other people think, not caring about how you look, not caring about what's going on tomorrow or the next day, just having fun in the moment today. If you could do that, everything you truly intended would be flowing into your reality right now.
Sounds good.
All right.
That's all?
That's all. What else is there? What else could there be? What else could there be? If you're having fun, you're in alignment. If you're feeling good, you're in alignment. If you're playing, you're in alignment. If you're in alignment, you're getting inspired to do whatever is best for you to do in that moment. You are allowing the cooperative elements of the universe to come together to make you feel even better than you've been feeling before, to make you feel good. The making you feel good part is the natural part. And it's not that it's making you feel good. It's that you're choosing to feel good. You're choosing to say, this is fun. This is interesting. This is exciting. This is what I want to do. It couldn't be any better than this. How could it be better than this? Oh, that's how it can be better than this. Oh, this is fun. Oh, I can't wait to do this. Oh, this is going to be fun. This is going to be fun. This is going to be great. This is fun. I'm enjoying this. Let's play a game. Let's have more fun. Let's have more fun. Let's have more fun. And then your parents finally say, stop. Stop. Go to bed. Stop having so much fun. We're exhausted watching you have all this fun. And so you slowly, over time, stop having as much fun. And you start to believe that you need to get serious. And you start to try and control the conditions. And when you try and control the conditions, you see how that can't possibly work for you. And so things start to get scary because things are starting to happen that aren't in alignment with how you think things should go so that you'll have fun again. So it's always coming back to this fun. It's always coming back to this feeling good. Feeling good is nothing more than agreeing with your inner self about what's going on in your life, about who you are, and about how things are going. That's all that is. And in order to feel good, all you have to do is find that agreement. And when you're having fun, that agreement just seems to happen naturally, doesn't it? When you're in an interesting conversation, you're simply agreeing with your inner self. When you're with friends, when you're walking in interesting places, when you're traveling, when you're doing fun stuff, when you're not caring about the responsibilities, when you're just agreeing with your inner self, you will just naturally feel good. And so that all you ever have to do is figure out how to agree with your inner self. Do you have enough money? Well, your inner self thinks you do. Always. Yep. Your inner self is never worried about money, ever. Do people like you? Your inner self thinks everyone likes you. Your inner self is never worried about what other people think, ever. Your inner self never thinks that it matters what anyone else thinks. You do, and that's why you don't agree with it. You think you need more money, and that's why you're not agreeing with your inner self. And in those times of disagreement, you're simply out of alignment. And those times when you're out of alignment, well, it doesn't feel good, you can't really receive inspiration, and you're sort of resisting what's going on. And in that resistance to what's going on, you make things less fun than they would be. And so the whole idea is to have more fun. And more fun means more agreement. If you could figure out how to be in agreement more often, then you would just be in a constant state of fun, enjoyment, feeling good, moving forward, expanding, having fun. What's fun? What's fun to you? What's fun to you in this moment? What's fun to you later on today? What fun things are you going to do in your life? How are you going to incorporate more, more, more fun? Is your job fun? Is what you do for work fun? Are your friends fun? Is your family fun? Is your spouse fun? Is your mate fun? Did what you do this weekend, was that fun? Is what you're going to do next weekend, will that be fun? Will this whole day be fun? Will this whole tomorrow be fun? How important is fun? And we say, really, that's what you came here for, so nothing more is more important than fun. So who's having fun lately?
I am, Joshua.
Yeah.
Yeah. Excellent.
We're all having fun.
All right, so let's talk about what was fun. Who did something fun?
I did something fun, Joshua. This is Nikki.
Hi, Nikki. What did you do that was fun?
Okay, so I went shopping for school supplies with my son, and then afterwards I suggested that we go and look at my new apartment. And so he came with me, and he got the Wi-Fi number, and we had some cheese and crackers, and he took pictures of it. And we had this really cool talk. And then afterwards, when we were driving home, he asked me if he could drive, and I said yes. So we went off to like side roads, and he was so thrilled to be driving because he doesn't have his license yet. And he's like, wow, Mom, thank you for letting me drive. You're being so cool about it. And it's, you know, it's funny because I had to go through so much fear to like tell him everything. And I feel so much relief since I've pushed through the fear. And at first, you know, I told him 2 days ago. So at first he was like, that's totally fucked up. And then like he just processed it. And then today we had a little talk in the car, and I couldn't really say exactly what it was, but he said, Mom, I trust you, and there must be a good reason. And you know, it's like, that just blows my mind. It's like, I had to push through so much fear to get to this place. I can't even believe it. And I'm like having fun. You know, I drove with my son, and we went to check out the apartment, and we have this cool connection. And yeah, it was just totally fun.
Yeah. So imagine what that is. You're worried about bringing the subject up. You're worried about what he'll think. You have fear around that. And so that fear is this disagreement with your inner self. Your inner self is saying,
yeah,
there's no reason to have fear. You can tell him. He might have fear, but that doesn't really affect you. You can choose to let that affect you, but really, you are existing in a state of resistance around what is going to happen at some point. At some point, you're going to do it. So you exist for this day in resistance. You exist in resistance. And finally, you let go of the resistance. You push past through your fear. You do what you were inspired to do from the beginning. There's a little fear on his part in the beginning. You process how you feel about his fear. He gets over his fear. He comes to a place of recognition. He comes back into alignment saying nothing is really to fear here. It's all going to work out. And you feel that feeling of relief, the best feeling in the world. There is no better feeling than feeling of relief. In that feeling of relief is a feeling of finally coming back into agreement with your inner self. And then everything's fun because you're in alignment. And so anything that you do is fun. And when you process fear and you are doing something that you could see that possibly you wouldn't have done in the past, which is let him drive.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you say, look, it all worked out. More relief. Yeah. He's feeling good. More agreement with your inner self. More processing of fear. That feels good. And then now everything's fun. So what fun really is the moving through the fear. That's why roller coasters are fun. The relief that you feel when it's over, that you did it, that you stood in line and you anticipated it and you had this anxiety about it and you got in and you slowly went to the top of the hill and then you went through it, survived, feel that relief. That's what makes things fun.
Yeah. Wow. I have a question. So this is something that has kind of plagued me, I guess, throughout my life. And even like through the Joshua teachings all this time, it's like what all of my letters to you have been about, which is my attachment to certain people. And, you know, I'm sure you're going to tell me the same thing you've always told me, but, is it my lack of faith or is it that my attachment is so strong? I just, you know, I don't like things to change. I want things to work out the way I want them to work out. And I really want to let go of attachment, but I just don't seem to be able to. This is where I feel like I get stuck.
Okay. So how are you attached to anyone?
Well, we are certainly connected because we are eternally connected.
Right. So how are you attached? So what are you saying when you're saying attached? What you're
saying is you're having a fear
of loss.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Well, yeah, and it like comes up every single time.
Right. All right. So you have an idea of who you are based on your attachments to people. And so you don't really fear the loss of the person. You feel the loss of who you would be if that person hated you or ignored you or did not reciprocate the love. So it's not the person, it's you're using the person to self-identify with who you think, to build a persona around who you are. And so what you fear is the change in that persona. What you fear is feeling more unworthy than you do now. You know, you pull a person into your life, you use that person's excuse to feel validated and loved, and you say, I am worthy because this person loves me. And you say, if you leave me, that means that I'm going to feel unworthy because it shows that you don't love me. And my belief on who I am is attached to how you respond to me. But I make it all up. You are making it all up. That is you're just placing it out. And that's part of these limiting beliefs that you adopted as a child. And that's part of your journey. And it's part of your exploration of who you are. And so when you start to be who you are, without regard to what other people think or how they love you or how they treat you or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Independent of that, then you'll find out who you are. And what you came here to do is to find out who you really are. So the only way you can find out who you are is to let the chips fall where they may. You may have this fear that that person will leave, that that person will treat you differently, that that person won't care. And in the allowing them to leave, you step into who you more truly are because who you're being now is this false version of you that's attached to what people think or how they behave, right? And you can't – if you're going to stay with that version of you, you're not going to find who you really are. So if you think about it, why you came here is this – why everyone came here is to be in this environment of self-discovery. So you've discovered who you are not. You are discovering who you are now. And you're in this juxtaposition where you are sort of stuck because you intellectually understand who you are.
Yeah.
A magnificent, limitless being of pure positive love and acceptance who is here to love and not to be loved, is here to expand, is here to experience joy and freedom, is here to experience abundance, is self-contained, is eternal. You know that's who you are, yet you've built up this persona that says, if this person loves me, then I'm good. If this person loves me, then I'm worthy. If this person's in my life, then I can feel secure. Right? So you're saying, if then, if then, if then. And so you're placing your faith, really your whole identity, in the hands of conditions outside of you. Mm-hmm. And one who does that must control the conditions.
Yeah.
Because if you allow things just to go as they're going to go, then, then you are subject to the what you perceive is disaster. Right.
Okay.
You are subject to seeing yourself in this version of you that you fear most, which is unworthy. You've come so far to prove your worthiness, move in this direction of worthiness, mm-hmm. be validated in a way you were never validated in your youth, and now you fear the loss of that and going back to how you were felt years ago, which you did not like.
Yeah. So are you saying that attachment is actually about control?
Attachment is all control.
Okay. And, but you know, here's the thing. This is my beef if I have one. So if we're just indifferent and if people come into our lives, we fall madly in love with them or we really like them or even like an animal, we just have this strong affection. We, especially on this call, are all sensitive beings. You've said this before. So here we are. We're really like 100% into this person and then they disappear. How can one be indifferent?
Why are you into them?
Because they make me feel worthy
they
and validated.
They can't make you feel worthy and validated. You choose to use them as your excuse to feel worthy and invalidated, right? And you choose...
This is tricky.
You choose to view them, to make them your excuse to be validated, feel worthy. And you choose them to make you feel unworthy.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You make everything this excuse. If you like something, that's just an excuse to feel good. If you dislike something, that's just your excuse to feel bad. You don't need them to like you. They come into your life, and they're wonderful, and they're fantastic, and you love them. Take a pet. Mm-hmm. You bring a pet into your life. Mm-hmm. You know that the pet's going to leave you at some point.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Right? So you're prepared for this, and you say... Yeah. I'm going to love you while you're with me.
Yeah.
And I'm going to use your excuse to feel good. And I know that you're not trying to control me, that you love me as I am. And that makes it easier for me because I know that I can be myself with you. And so I don't have to control you. How I think about you is how my inner self thinks about you. And so that feels good, right?
Yeah.
I use you, little animal, as my excuse to feel good. But the animal's not making you feel good. The animal's just existing. The animal just exists as it is. And you place that good or bad feeling on the animal. If the animal's barking, hopefully it's a dog. If the animal's barking and it's annoying, you will use that as your excuse not to feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And as soon as the animal stops barking, you'll use that excuse, good boy, good boy. Now you feel good again. It's still up to you 100%. So imagine this. A person comes into your life. You feel great today. Today you feel great. Today you feel great. You use them as, everything's going good. If you feel good, it just means that you found something in this person to allow you to agree with your inner self. That's all you've done, right? And if you feel bad, you've found something in this person that causes you to feel fear. And in that fear, your inner self will never join you. Right?
Yeah.
And that's why you feel this disconnect, right? And then you say, I feel disconnect, and it's because of that person. They made me feel bad. Right? Well, that person can't make you feel anything. It's always up to you. And what they did was trigger a limiting belief, which brought up some irrational fear.
Yeah. And you know, I just want to go back real quick to the example of the pet. So, you know, my dog Ginger died in June, and she, you know, I loved her as, you know, to the best of my ability. And if she barked, it didn't bother me at all. But I will say, when she was sick and she was throwing up, she did, you know, spark fear in me. And so, you know, that's the thing. It's like I saw the throwing up and I saw the weight loss. And so fear, I had experienced fear, and it was fear of loss. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how I could have lived that any other way, because we care, call it attachment or whatever, but we as human beings in this physical reality care about the things and people that are in our lives. But
to
yeah, I get
a degree of intensity.
Yeah.
Right. So you care because you've been used to using that animal as your excuse to feel good. That's why you care. You don't care about the animal. Because the animal is going to live its life and exist as it's existing and came here to be with you and came here to explore and to have fun and then to return to non-physical easily and effortlessly. Right? What you care about and what you'll always have to remember is, here is my excuse to feel good that's leaving me and I feel fear. That's the only thing you care about. And when we say give up care, we mean you're not going to be willy-nilly about the treatment of the animal. You're going to be, I understand from this intellectual perspective that the reason I care is because I'm so used to using this animal as my excuse to feel good. It's easy for me to do that. And I like that it's easy. And that as long as the animal is healthy, I feel good. And when the animal is unhealthy, I feel fear. Mm-hmm. Not fear for the animal, because on a higher level, conscious basis, perspective, you understand the animal is going to die at some point and is going to live its life and be as happy as it can until it doesn't. And it's going to return to non-physical at some point. You know that, right? And you want to live longer so that you can use it for an excuse to feel good for a longer period of time. And that may sound to you insensitive, but this is the truth of it. And once you get your head around the truth of it, then you can say, wait a second here, I choose how I feel in every moment. I judge this is good, and so I feel good. I judge this is wrong, and so I feel wrong. It's not that it's inherently good or bad. It's that I am choosing it. And so the thing I have control over is not the thing itself, but how I choose to look at it.
Yeah.
And so it's not – you might find that it's easier to deal with death as you embark upon these teachings when you realize what's really going on, right? And so you might go to a funeral and you might be inspired to celebrate the person's life rather than to cry over their apparent loss, knowing that there is no loss, that the person's always with you, the person will return to you in the non-physical, the person's available even more mentally, even truer to who they really are, and you either choose or choose not to communicate with them now. But nothing bad happened at all. And your perspective that, oh, maybe they died too young, or maybe that was tragic, or is all from a limited perspective, not knowing, you know, what's really going on here, you know, not realizing that all death is suicide, you know. And so you now go to a funeral, and you feel significantly less negative emotion than the other people there who don't understand what's really happening, that they've been using this person as their excuse to feel love, security, alignment, etc. And now this person seems to have been removed from the life. But that the person is really the excuse of alignment or the excuse of unalignment. For instance, if you find if an evil dictator gets deposed and a mob surrounds him and kills him, everyone celebrates. Why? Because the reason that they use this person as a reason to be out of alignment, and now this person's no longer there, therefore they assume that they'll be out of alignment less often, right? Which is never the case, right? Killing someone never solves the problem. Even if you think that's the reason you were out of alignment because it was this person, getting rid of that person never solves the problem. because they were never the real excuse. It was always something else, because reality is just a mirror to what you're emoting anyway. Right. Mm. So as people leave you, it's going to be your choice to say, well, I was using them as an excuse to feel good. I was using them as an excuse to feel validated and worthy. I was using them as an excuse to feel, because they seemed to love me. They did all those things that I could say that meant love, mm-hmm. that I was worthy of their love, right?
Yeah.
And now they're not there, so therefore I have no one showing me that I'm loved. Therefore, there's no way to know that I'm worthy of love. And again, that's a control, because you were looking for the outside conditions to make you feel something that you could not feel on your own inside. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. We're just saying that if that's your approach to life, then you're dependent on everyone else and everything else outside of you. If you choose the new approach to life, you are saying, I need not anything outside of me to validate me, make me feel worthy, make me feel secure. I need only to understand when I feel fear, when I feel alignment. And I'm going to move towards alignment and use whatever I can as an excuse to feel good and just maintain that state of being. Right? And as you realize that this is all fear, all irrational fear, you will feel the same way you felt after you told your son, after you showed him the apartment, and after you let him drive. You will feel the magical feeling of relief.
Yay! Thank you, Joshua.
Excellent.
Hey, Joshua, it's Isabel.
Hi, Isabel.
Hello. So I have a couple of questions. So you were saying that we should have fun. And I think that whatever comes in our reality is for us, and we can choose the perspective of having fun.
Right. Right.
Right. Yep. And then you said something about, you know, they murdered the dictator, right? Because they were out of alignment. And I was having a conversation with a friend last night, and she doesn't believe in reincarnation. And I said, well, we're eternal souls, and we come here very often. And she believes that you come here only once. And I said, well, I'm sure there's a possibility of that, because all possibilities exist. But it seems like a pattern that we come here very frequently.
Well, we will agree with her on one point.
Okay.
You will only ever come here as Isabel one time.
Right.
You will only have this unique experience of life. And all lives, all everything in physical reality is unique. And all of it is adding to that which is. And so from her perspective, you could say, yes, this version of Isabel will never exist again. Therefore, I'm going to live this version of Isabel in as much joy as I can possibly stand.
Right.
Right.
So then she said, well, why don't we remember past lives? And I said, well, because it's a game and we're not supposed to remember.
Yeah, because all of the limiting beliefs would come with you.
Ah.
In that memory.
Right. Yeah.
You adopted limiting beliefs in this life to cause a trajectory towards that which you came to explore in this life. So the limiting beliefs that you have in this life are perfect for you, because they created the trajectory that led you to this conversation, to where you are in life, to the perfect spot to move forward in a new and higher perspective. But any other life would have caused you to create a trajectory based on what you wanted to explore that life. But you've expanded past that life, right? So imagine that you were a, you know, farmer in the 1800s in Iowa, and you lived your entire life within 20 miles of where you were, right? And you got the experience of that. Now, your experience now is you live as a mother and in a modern society with modern communication, having a job, being independent, completely different life than the life you had before. But if you brought up all the limiting beliefs, and you can imagine there might be some, in that 19th century farmer, right, into your modern day life, well, you probably wouldn't leave your house. You probably wouldn't turn on the TV. You'd probably be overwhelmed, right? You would probably have completely different religious beliefs. which would not allow you to make it to this conversation. You know, so who you're living now as Isabel is different than any other life you've ever had in the past on purpose, because in this life you said, I'm going to explore something that could never have been explored at any other time than this time in this way. And that's why you don't bring with you those beliefs.
But I do think that possibly the previous life might have birthed a desire for this life to explore.
The previous life said, when that life was over, it was like, that was a fun roller coaster ride. Now, based on how I expanded from this life and previous lives, I am at this new level. Okay. So in this new level, what's next? Now, here's an analogy. Imagine that you're 10 years old. You go to Disneyland for the first time. You ride, it's a small world, teacups, little kid rides. And you really want to ride the roller coasters, but you haven't reached that height limit yet. You're a couple inches shorter. And so you go back home and you measure yourself every day and you can't wait till you get to that height limit so that you can ride the new ride. And so that you get to the height limit and now you're off to the races. You're doing this roller coaster and a bigger roller coaster. And as you get older and have more experience with roller coasters, you're ready for more scary ones and higher ones. And you go to all these different places where they have new roller coasters. And now you're at this point where you've ridden thousands of roller coasters. And then you look back and you say, should we go in the small world again? And you're saying, no, let's go in a bigger, better, faster roller coaster. We've done that. We've done all these other ones. We've evolved to this level where, for us, the feeling of relief that we get when we're done with the ride can only be achieved by bigger and more scary roller coasters. And so you have expanded in this seeking out of the new and the bigger and the better. And so going back doesn't offer any new excitement for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so the life that you're living now has been the most exciting and the most expansive than you've ever lived. And
yes.
And because of who you are now, because of the lives you lived before, you chose a trajectory that would lead to who you are now. And then when you decide it's time to return to non-physical and you return, you will come to a new place of expansion. And this life added to that, which is the essence of you, your inner self, all that you are. And from that point, you'll say, what's next? What's more exciting? And so you can see that physical reality is not so different than the non-physical. Because as you experience life, tomorrow you will say, what's next? What do I want now? What do I want now? And as you achieve your desires, as you manifest things in physical reality, you're always asking for more. And so this idea of more is built into the fabric of all existence, not just physical, but non-physical as well. As on earth, so shall be in heaven, means that the system here is essentially the same system that is in the non-physical. The same universal laws, the same desire for more, the same reaching and unlocking thoughts and ideas that have never been thought before. That's what we're all about as Joshua, and that's essentially what you're all about as non-physical beings experience a physical reality. It's the same thing. Now, the only thing different is your perspective. And so as you look on life from your perspective, you see things as a human might see it, as you were taught, as you were built into this environment, right? So that perspective compared to the perspective you have in the non-physical is limited. This is why you have a guidance system. This is why your inner self is with you every moment of your life, to let you know where your perspective is. And so if you feel negative emotion, if you feel fear, negative emotion and fear, same thing. If you feel that fear, it just means that in this moment, you're looking at yourself and your life from a limited perspective that does not match reality, the perspective of your inner self, the higher perspective, right? And so when you fear death, when you fear loss, that's always the negative emotion associated with a perspective that's limited because you can't see the whole picture. And so if you can't see the whole picture, it means that you can give up and just go with, you know, their fears, or you can say, well, if my inner self is not agreeing with me, my inner self has a higher perspective, what might that perspective be? And so just that stance of curiosity, what might that perspective be, allows this little feeling of relief in. And when you can tug on that feeling of relief and move in that direction, not only is what you're here to explore revealed to you, but you start to create as you intended. You start to manifest that, those things you intended prior to your birth, that which you truly want. Yeah.
So let me ask you that. So the intention of what you truly want, you know, sometimes we call that fate. Sometimes I've heard the term like, well, you have a contract with a certain person to experience a certain thing, a role to play to kind of put you on your trajectory. And then you have the concept of free will. And I'm like, well, I think you can break your contract. I think like if you really wanted to break a contract, you can.
So but let's just say the word contract. The word contract is a fear-based word.
Okay.
Contract is used to make people do things that they agree to do, right? No contracts are non-physical. Nobody cares if you do what you agree to do. Nobody cares.
Okay.
Everyone knows it's, everything's going to turn out right. That that there are systems in place to make sure everything turns out right, right? And that you set intentions. I intend to meet up with you. I intend to interact with you. But you do this with way more entities than you think, way more than you can even imagine. And so who you end up with is who is you're meant to end up with based on your vibration and their vibration at the time. You have a negative or not a negative. You have a limited vibration. Let's say you are in a low emotional state of being. You're existing in a state of depression. And who you meet up with then is the perfect person that you need to meet up with them at that time. And they resonate with you. You resonate with them. It just shows you how you're reacting, how you're being in this physical reality. If you're having a fun time with friends and a new friend just happens to enter where you are, you go, this is amazing. Look at you. I can't believe you're here. Well, that agreement to be with that person worked out based on your vibration, their vibration, the vibration, the whole thing. It always works out. So there is no contract. There is no need for contracts. You just set intentions. If it works out, it works out. If it doesn't work out, you've got a billion more lifetimes you can work it out in.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can know for sure those people who are in your life are there by an intention that was set prior to everyone's birth and that everything is working out perfectly. But you don't have to be attached to them, right? Because if you look at it realistically, you're going to have a vibration for a certain point. Your vibration is going to change, and so is theirs. And you can force yourself to stay together, or it can naturally stay together, right? If there is no forcing of it, then you're just going to be there today. And if there's no forcing tomorrow, then you'll be together tomorrow. If there's no forcing the next day. But if you tend to say, oh, we have a contract, we have to be together, then you're going to be taken out of fun a lot of the time. It's not going to be the most fun thing you could be doing. Right. But if you say, I'm eternally linked to this person, and whether they're here in my physical reality or not, doesn't matter. And that if I move through inspiration to do what I want, rather than stick around in fear, right? Because because I'm attached to them, you know, that whole idea of attachment and believing that you should commit yourself to one person for your whole life is a contract, a marriage contract, and the marriage contract, we will say, would not be necessary without fear. If you said, I will be with you today because I enjoy being with you today, and I'll be with you every single day I enjoy being with you, as long as you enjoy being with me. And then when when I'm ready for something else, then I'll receive inspiration. And if you receive the same inspiration, then we'll go off and do that together. And if not, I'll go on my own. And I won't be afraid that losing you means I lose love, security, blah, 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 down the road, right? It'll mean that the next stage of my evolution is in this direction and that I don't need to lose you, right? I don't need to make that separation scary, fearful, wrong. I can leave in love. And since there's really no leaving, that once you've attracted someone, they're with you forever. This is an attractive reality. There is no possibility of pushing anything away or loss, for that matter. Once you've attracted something, it's with you. It's in your universe. Your universe is huge, right? It'll never go away. It'll never go away. That universe is huge. It'll morph into something better and better and better. Now, you might say, well, what about the dinosaurs? The dinosaurs went away, right? There are no dinosaurs roaming around. And we will say, that's not true. There are bones. There's DNA. There's movies, books, artwork, all kinds of things. The dinosaurs have morphed into these plush toys you give your children. They've morphed into the best possible version of a dinosaur there is. You know? The dinosaur that has no ability to destroy or disrupt your life in any way, but only to add to it. Yeah. So everything exists in the best possible way it could for you.
But isn't there a place where dinosaurs exist anyways? Because there is no time.
Yeah, there is. Would you like to go there?
Well, no, I just, you know, it just gives me comfort, you know, like there's a version of Isabel that still exists in that dimension, that time. And, you know, everything exists. Nothing does not cease to exist. It's just that I can't see it. And it's fine. So who cares?
Who cares? Exactly. What you can see is the reality that's presented to you. And that reality is consistent with your vibration perfectly. And so if you want to change any part of that reality, if you want to improve anything, you move towards the love. Whatever the love is, and when we say love, we mean whatever the alignment, whatever the excitement, whatever the interest, whatever is above that emotional horizon line. Interest, excitement, joy, fun, passion. Love. If you just say in that realm rather than the fear realm, then you can be guided to whatever it is. And then things just get more love-based. And, you know, your experience is moving from fear to love. You will always move from fear to love. You will always leave this more expanded and more based in love than at certain times of your life, right? Now, we will say, too, that you came in based in love. Who you were when you were born was pure positive love, right? But as you set forth in this experience of life, you chose certain aspects of it to explore it more deeply. And that exploration does include limiting beliefs. And those limiting beliefs can move you into a more limited and fear-based version of yourself than exists now or exists later on. And we will not say that the day you die will be less fearful than any other day in your life. But that overall, the expansion, when you return to non-physical, has caused you to move more towards the love side of the equation. And you will return, obviously, based as a pure positive being of love. But the process of this coming in and living a life and then moving mass consciousness, humanity, to a more loving state, you can see it in your lifetime. You're generally more accepting. You're generally more abundant. You're generally less aggressive. You're generally more open. You're generally more, you have generally more beneficial beliefs. And you can see how this is working in time. And as you agree to come here and to go through this experience for the benefit of all that is, you can see how you're moving things better and better and better and better. And so you're all a part of this. Everyone's a part of this, moving things better and better. And some people are getting bogged down by fear, and other people are successfully navigating life by managing their fears. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're doing here. That's what this conversation is all about. Yeah. Excellent.
So Joshua, that what you were saying with Isabel about, I was listening to another channel or person that I tend to admire, but now I'm not so sure because I don't understand this. They were talking about how we all talk about our vibration, like you were talking with Isabel with our vibration, versus the universe simply sending us what we need in that moment to expand.
Right. That's exactly what happens.
Same thing.
100% what happens.
Okay, so 100%. It's basically the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. You are here to expand. That expansion is what you came for. The expansion really is the process of self-discovery. And you receive everything you need for your exploration when you need it. So it's even better than the mountain climber who packs a pack and has everything they need. Because the mountain, in your case, you don't have to pack a pack. Everything's self-contained. It's within you. You get to go with nothing. You can get to go walking naked up that mountain. And when you need a coat will appear for you. And when you need food, food will appear for you. And when you need a guide will appear for you. And when you need an obstacle will appear for you.
So that's based on if that is your intention prior to coming into
Well, that is your physical. Intention. Yeah.
And not everybody's intention is to climb the mountain.
No, but everyone's intention is to expand through experience.
Okay.
Right. And everyone has, the vast majority of their intentions are general, to be in this realm in joy, love, freedom, abundance, right? And literally, abundance is your birthright, and you cannot be without pure, total, 100% abundance. You can't even be in lack ever, because lack is an exploration of abundance, and you get everything you need to experience lack. So if you're here to experience lack, you get all the people and conditions you need to truly experience that abundantly, right? And if you need to experience relationships where you're treated as less than human, you will be given all those opportunities to find the people who will help you in that, right? Mm-hmm. And if you need to experience, to more closely understand who you truly are, if you need to experience massive wealth, that will come too. Mm. You know?
Okay. So basically we have our intentions coming in, and these limiting beliefs that we gather along the way, the conditions, we're born into those conditions. So
right, you chose those conditions.
I'm tripping up there. I'm tripping
so you
up
chose
there.
The condition. You chose the condition to be validated by being good.
Uh-huh. Right? Uh-huh.
And that you're not good just inherently, that you have to prove your worthiness by behaving, getting good grades, you know, not acting out, that sort of thing. Right. And so you chose a family who would allow you to adopt these limiting beliefs, as opposed to a family that would accept you fully for who you are, right? And there are families out there, believe it or not, who accept children for who they are.
Right.
And there are families out there who will never accept people for who they are. And thank God, because those children coming into those families want even more limiting beliefs than you got. Mm-hmm. So that they can have the chance to work through them. Because, you see, it doesn't matter if you achieve self-discovery while physical. Because once you've gone back to non-physical, you'll see the whole spectrum of your life, and you'll understand what went on there, and then you'll receive it. You receive everything you desire in the non-physical. That's an interesting point here. If you desire a yacht, you get that yacht in the non-physical and everything that yacht means. If you desire a yacht and don't get it now, it just means that fear stopped prevented you from getting what you wanted, right? But in the non-physical, you can't birth the desires that you birth here. So in the non-physical, there is no way to experience the yacht that you created here in your desires. But once you've gone to the non-physical, you get to play in your yacht. Now, you'll see it from a different perspective for what it really is, what it really means, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and you won't I'm good because I have a yacht. That would never happen. You can say, how cool is this yacht? Mm-hmm. How cool is this thing that I birthed the desire for when I was physical? And now I get to enjoy it when I'm physical. Because had I never had this life, I would never be floating around on this yacht with all my friends. You know, it would never occur to me that this would be something to be interesting. But because you live this life, now that thing, be it a yacht, be it a mate who accepts you as you are, be it children and grandchildren who love you as you are, be it the ability to speak to animals in the physical, how fun that is, you know, that sort of thing. Being who you truly are in the physical is an experience you get to take with you into the non-physical.
Okay.
And so, all the expansion of everything you've lived goes with you in the non-physical, and it doesn't really matter too much if you experience it now while physical. But from your perspective as a human, you will be in sheer joy when you experience it. Mm-hmm. You know, just as you will be in the non-physical. So what's that about? Well, since this is a feeling reality, the only thing that matters is how you feel. So let's figure out a way to feel good all the time. And the way to do that is to maintain a perspective that agrees with your inner self's perspective that is always higher. Mm. Now, as a human, do you like to have negative emotion?
No.
Well, certainly you do, because, you know, you watch some pretty scary stuff on TV, right? Right? But you feel the relief once that's over with.
Oh, interesting. You know,
that it didn't happen to you. And so that feeling of relief, you really, like, how do you get a feeling of relief? You know, you bungee jump, right? Sure. Yeah. So it's a little negative emotion getting up to the top of that thing and waiting there and standing there and you feel anxiety and you feel like quitting and you feel like, well, will everyone think of me if I quit and don't do it, you know? And then you do it and you don't die. And so you feel relief, and the best feeling in the world is relief. And that makes you think that bungee jumping is fun. Now, in the non-physical, would you think that bungee jumping is fun? Probably not. Right.
Not.
Yeah. You know, you don't get that feeling of relief because the only thing you're ever feeling is relief anyway. But so you're playing with this tension between anxiety and relief. And the relief is more intense the more the anxiety is intense.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what makes things fun. Yeah. And if you don't survive, who cares?
Yeah.
Right? You'll feel the relief anyway. Can you imagine, you know, floating out in the ocean, you're all by yourself, and you're treading water. And no one can find you. And eventually, you're fighting to stay alive. You're fighting to stay alive. You're fighting to stay alive. When you get rescued by a boat, you're going to feel relief. When you drown, you're going to feel relief. Either way. It doesn't matter. Right.
Huh. So back to all our limiting beliefs then. We don't come in with limiting beliefs from previous lives.
Right.
They're all created from our conditions that we choose to come into.
Well, let's clarify that. Possibly you could say that you don't come in with any of the past limiting beliefs, because those are all forgotten and you understand what those were and why those happened, right? And so as you return from this life as a farmer in Iowa in the 1800s, realizing those limiting beliefs, wow, those limiting beliefs kept me living within this 20-mile area. And it kept me married to one person my whole life. And it kept me from doing really what I wanted to do. And so you understand those limitations, right? And you say, this time, I want to try something different. So I'm going to come in without any limiting beliefs, because I'm not carrying those forward. I don't need to. I'm coming in fresh. I'm coming in as being of light and love. But I'm going to be put in a situation where I'm pretty sure that those people are going to want me to behave. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure, knowing what I know about them, they're going to want me to be good. And I'm going to be, like, pretty sure that I'm going to feel, I'm going to have this belief, that in order to be loved, I have to be good. I can't be who I really am. Mm. Right? Mm, yeah. Other people will come in with the same parents, the same type of parents. And they're going to say, they're going to adopt the same beliefs. And then they're going to rebel against those beliefs. And they're going to be thrown into the deep end, become who they are in spite of the limiting beliefs, and say, I'll show them, you know. Mm. So both sets work, and it depends on who you've become in your expansion to this point, what you decide to do. But look at another thing, is you might come in saying, I want to be born into a condition where everything I want is granted to me, where it's pure abundance, that I can do anything I want, that there is no limitations. And then see how hard it is to birth desires, and see how hard it is to create my own reality, right, instead of control the conditions. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So the things you think are good from a non-physical perspective aren't beneficial at all, or even more challenging than what you have now. And the things that you think are really tough aren't really that tough from a non-physical perspective.
Right. I'm understanding that more and more.
Is there anything else that this other person said that you think might conflict with what we say?
No, it was just that I've always thought of my vibration, like getting my vibration up to a certain point, but that makes total sense now, because I would have to have my vibration at a point where the universe could send me what I need in that moment.
Right, otherwise you wouldn't be prepared for it.
Exactly, and I've been going through that process in the last couple of years mostly, which just blows my mind that it's only been 2 years. We went on the cruise a year and a half ago, and that just blows my mind, because I feel like I've lived a lifetime in that period.
Well, this is the rush of rapid expansion.
Mm.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, because even though you're expanding to new levels and you're facing new fears, mm-hmm. you're seeing things from a higher perspective, and so you're getting more tools. And so the tools allow you to climb higher and higher on that mountain, because you're getting what you need when you need it.
Yes.
2 years ago, you were prepared to be as high as you are now.
No, right? Not at all. Yeah. No. And to even ask, now I ask, like if I feel like I don't have a tool, I ask, who out there has a tool? I need this tool.
Right.
Somebody's got to have it.
Right. And that asking is really, the tool's always there. It's this allowing for the tool to come into play, you know, from a conscious perspective. Yeah. You know? Awesome. Very exciting.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hi, Joshua.
Hello.
It's Genevieve.
Hi, Genevieve.
Hello. I wanted to see if you could give me any more insight into any superpowers that I may have, because I still haven't come into alignment with that yet.
Well, you haven't realized what your superpowers are yet.
Exactly.
So that's all it is. So your superpowers are there. And if we told you what your superpowers are, the ability to travel all over the world anytime you want, the ability to magically make things happen without any preconceived knowledge of it, the ability to create a reality that's never before existed before, the ability to flow with how things are going, the ability to manage your fears, the ability to do all these things you have been doing, but think that you're not doing right. That's your superpower. Now, if we tell you this, you're not at a vibrational level to understand what we're saying. But it will be fun if you could listen to this a year from now, 2 years from now, 5 years from now, and go, they told me this back then. They told me this, and I didn't hear it. The ability to do whatever you want to do with seemingly no resources to do it. And things just appear in your life. right? Not to have to plan, not to have to make things happen, just to allow things to happen, to live this incredibly rich, abundant life, this expansive life, to come from a place where you're inundated with limiting beliefs to a place where you are able to process limiting beliefs. That is a superpower beyond compare. The only way you got to us is through that superpower that you have. Now, you may not say that's special. Everyone has that. Everyone has that same superpower. Not so true. Not so true. That's why there's only 6 million people listening to this right now. The other billions don't have that superpower. Well, they have it. They just haven't realized it like you have. So what we think is ironic is the fact that you're doing all the things you're doing, but don't believe that you know your superpower. You think your superpower is something that's going to make you feel worthy. Again, something outside of you, right? To make you feel good. Finally, I can get on stage and do my superpower, and everyone's going to applaud. Right? That's what you think a superpower is. So you think Superman cares when he flies up over a building, all the people standing on the ground going, wow, that's Superman. Superman does not care about that. His superpower is to fly, but flying really is a passion. It's really a fun thing to do. He really enjoys flying. He doesn't fly around people. Oh, look, I can fly low. These people are going to admire me for how fast I can fly. He flies because it's part of him. He doesn't think that that's a superpower. He doesn't think that's such a big deal, right? It's just a fun thing to do. You know, he doesn't fight crime because others will like him if he fights crime. He just does it because that's who he is. He's Superman, right? And so your superpowers aren't going to make you feel worthy. You're going to feel worthy, and the more worthy you feel, your superpowers are going to evolve. You're going to say, I deserve this. I deserve this. I deserve this. This is who I am. This isn't so amazing. This is who I am, right? I don't need others to tell me this is wonderful. I can use them saying this is wonderful as my excuse to feel good, which is fine. But that's an excuse, right? I'm just going to have fun. I'm just going to do what I think is fun. And I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't know where it's going to go. I don't know who I'm going to meet. I don't know how things are going to happen. I'm just going to follow that thing of fun. I have figured out by this age that life doesn't work the way I thought it worked. That life is far more magical. That allows me to do things I never thought I could do.
Yeah.
Right? Not because I need to prove myself to anyone, or I need to be seen as interesting, or I need to be seen as good. Only because I enjoy doing it. It's just fun. It's just interesting. It's just exciting. And it's just who I am. Who I am is one who has all these experiences, all these travels, all these friends, all these people who are willing to jump in and be fun with me. That's who I am. And that's all I need to be. And in being who I am, I'm just going to expect to get everything that goes along with who I am. All the tools I need, all the abundance I need, everything I need to be fully Genevieve. And only I can be Genevieve. And that's my superpower.
Okay.
That right there should solve everything. Everything should be solved. Every single problem
well,
you have.
I still have this tendency.
To?
It's pretty. Can you hear me?
Okay. Yeah.
It's pretty constant. Like when I meet somebody or when I call somebody or just a lot of the people around me, it's just this automatic voice in my head that says things like they don't want to talk to you or.
Yeah. Everyone has that voice. Everyone has that voice. That voice is called fear. Everyone has that. Okay?
Yeah.
You don't have to blindly accept that voice. You can disagree with that voice. There's another voice that says, everyone loves you. Everyone wants to hear from you. Everyone cares about you. Everyone wants to see you happy. That's your inner self. That's the true voice. The fear voice is asking you to live a limited life so that you don't do anything that could get yourself killed. Right? Always playing it safe. Always worried about what could happen. Right? Everyone has that voice. That voice is built into the fabric of physical reality. If you didn't have that voice, well, you couldn't push past fear. You couldn't have fear, right? You wouldn't have fear in the first place. So you would just be doing everything you want to do in the moment. And some of those things would be petting lions, right? If you never had a fear about anything, well, then you wouldn't have a fear about lions. And you'd be petting all these lions. And then you wouldn't live in physical reality for very long. It would be a quick experience of life. The first day, you'd be in trouble, right? So there's always this fear built in. This fear that your mother had, that your loved ones had for you, is built into this, right? It's part of this fabric. This needing you to be okay so they can be okay is important. And that's where the fear voice comes, and the fear keeps you alive. Great. So now you can say, well, there's two types of fear. There's the fear that keeps me alive, and there's the fear that's irrational. I can prove the irrational fear is false. I can prove the fear that they don't want to hear me is false. Because I've called lots of people, lots of times, and they've always wanted to hear me. Except maybe a couple times when they were doing something else, but, you know, big deal. If I'm inspired to call them, the fear voice is always going to say, don't call them. If I'm inspired to ask for something, the fear voice is always going to say, don't ask. The fear voice is always going to say, don't do this. You can't do this. This isn't going to work out. That's part of physical reality. You want that fear voice there. You would not want to be without it. That's good. But your job here is to say, okay, it's a fear voice. It's irrational. I'm not going to pay attention to it. I'm going to do that which I'm inspired to do. And I'm inspired to call this person. So I'm going to call them. And let the chips fall where they may. And if they don't want to hear from me, well, I know one thing for sure. It has to do with my vibration. It has to do with how I'm being. And okay, I can change that, right? If they don't want to hear from me, it's a manifestation event. It allows me to see my fears more clearly. That's what I came here for. So I'm going to call them and see what happens. I'm going to adopt the stance of curiosity. I'm going to do every single thing, the first step of every single thing I'm inspired to do. And I'm going to see what happens. And I'm going to get some feedback. And if the feedback is something I don't like, then I'm going to change inside. I'm not going to worry about asking them to change. I'm not going to leave them out of my life. I'm not going to ask them to be different than I am. I'm just going to change how I feel. So working on feeling good, working on feeling good, working on having fun, working on acting on inspiration, working on appreciating when things do work out, which they always do, don't they? Working on things, having gratitude for all these things I receive, which are amazing, aren't they? Yes. That's what you do. That's your job. That's your job. There's no other job. You don't have to do anything else. Literally, you don't have to do anything else. I mean, literally, you don't have to have a job. You literally do not have to have a job.
Well, other than making yourself feel good. If I didn't have the job that I have right now, I feel like I would not. Yeah. It's still this fear.
Right. You would feel that. So your job is not the job. The job is to manage the feeling. Do you see?
Yeah.
So you're managing the feeling, the fear, by getting a job. Instead of, which is changing the conditions, instead of managing the fear. Now, we're not saying anything's right or wrong about any of it. We're just wanting you to know how you're living life. And you're generally living life very fearlessly. And you're very good at processing fear. You're amazing. And that's your superpower, right? But when you have a job, just say, hey, I have this job to manage my fear of insecurity of money, right? And that allows you to have this vibration of more abundance. Because if you existed in this fear without being able to process it, then you would have to fear lack. You'll have to experience lack. Your fear would have to show you how you're feeling, right? And so the way you process your fear is through having this job, which is a commendable, wonderful thing to do. All we're saying is there is another possibility. And that you can move closer and closer and closer to this other possibility, which is, instead of having a job to manage your fear internally and saying, when I'm inspired to do something, then the money that I need to do whatever I need to do will come, or whatever will come to do whatever you need. Now, we're not saying that you're there yet, or that anyone listening here is there yet, or that Gary is there yet, or that there are people who are there yet. What we're saying is that exists as the reality of this universe, of this physical reality. You are guided by your supporters. 100%. Now, that's probably the most woo thing we could say. And that's probably the skeptics in all of you will say, you know, that is not reasonable or possible. But we're just saying, think about it as a possibility. That if you could manage your fear, you could maintain a state of alignment, no matter where you are. You could feel good. You could receive inspiration. You could simultaneously receive the inspiration not to do what you're inspired to do. And you could push through that fear and do it anyway. And if you did that, then the job would be getting in your way, because you'd be so focused on following inspiration and doing what you want to do. Don't quit the job just yet. Just think about this as a possibility. And just think more and more and more about feeling good and having fun and then receiving inspiration.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. We have time for one more. Is there any brave soul out there who would like to jump in?
Hola, Joshua.
Hola, Arno.
I just wanted to share a brief story that happened to me last week about on the subject of relief and the pleasure of relief. It was on Tuesday morning. It was my... it was at the end of my holiday, and I was due to fly back to the UK. And I wake up, I was in the south of France, I'd just spent 10 days, beautiful holiday in the sunshine, and I wake up and my phone is completely dead, like wouldn't turn on at all. It's about 6 o'clock in the morning. And that really, if you're used to living in reality and addicted to your phone like I am, that just brought loads of fears to me. And I knew it was completely irrational and I knew it was silly, but I was just had this thought. The first thought that came to me was, shit, this is happening just the day I'm due fly and all these. And so very quickly try to turn things around and just see the whole how I could process that fear and just not make a big deal out of it and just see, you know, take it lightly and have fun around it, etc., etc. And one of the thoughts that I had at the time when I was still not working was, this is going to bring me so much relief, that the feeling of relief that I'm going to get when it's sorted is going to be something to savor. And I was really, I could see the positive side on that. Anyway, to cut a long story short, this went on for a few hours. I was playing with it, and all of a sudden the Apple on the phone came back up, and just everything came back as normal. Again, just completely out of the blue after a few hours without being completely dead. And I felt such joy and relief in that moment. And I knew I was laughing inside because I knew that was going to happen. And I thought to myself, I really want to bottle that feeling and milk it and really remember it for later, because that's the feeling I want to reach out for later when I'm facing fear again.
Yeah.
And so that's really taught me a lesson, that little manifestation event last week.
Yeah. And the interesting thing there is that by having a bit of faith and a bit of fun around it and a bit of lightness, your day went in one direction. Right? It went, turned
exactly
out as it did.
Yeah.
You manifested the day as it turned out and everything turned out okay. On the other side of that, you could have been in fear and you could have responded to urges, like to throw the phone out the window. Right?
Yes.
And that would have taken the day on another direction. Right?
Yeah.
And so it's this ability to understand how you're feeling, what the fear is, and how to deal with that fear in the moment. That really creates your reality. Yeah. You can see how the later aspect, the playing with it, the curiosity, the ease, the fun of that creates a reality that you prefer. Not a better reality, not a more interesting reality, but one that you prefer personally. The reality that would be created if you acted in fear and responded to urges that came out of fear would be a reality that's not wrong. It would be expansive. It just wouldn't be one that you prefer. And so in everything you do, you just want to move towards the thing you prefer. And since you don't know what's going to happen anyway, since you don't know how things are going to turn out, why not adopt the fun, light, easy stance? Because really, things are always responding to your vibration. And so you could have thought, well, this is the last day of the vacation. Everything's happened nicely. I don't want anything to go wrong. I'm afraid if things go wrong. You know, that in the back of your mind, you might be saying things like, everything, you know, better be good tomorrow. I don't want anything to screw up. Everything is my last day. I'll make sure everything's good. I'm nervous about leaving and flying back home and all that stuff. And here the manifestation event comes. And here the universe sees that our no is at this new level. Our no is now not reacting out of fear, but reacting in a playful, fun way, out of curiosity. And boom, things go back to perfect. Boom, suddenly, out of for no reason, your phone turns back on again. How is that even possible? Right? How's that physically, how is that possible? You don't
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So these that's how reality works. This is how reality works. This is saying, all right, there's a little bit of limiting belief there that things need to be done in a certain way in order to get home without problems. Okay, let's work on that limiting belief. Let's not let his phone work tomorrow. See how he does. Not as a test, but as a way for you to see how you're being now. And as you go from fear and not act on urges and bring yourself back into alignment, everything turns out perfectly because you don't need the phone not to work anymore. That manifestation was done.
So was the manifestation set up in the universe or did I create it
vibration? You created it, right?
I created it.
Yeah. You created it, right? You have a desire. Your desire is to experience love and faith and joy and abundance and all these things. And you have a limiting belief saying that, oh, I got to be careful and I got to be worried about how I get back home and things may not turn out. And what happens if they don't turn out? I'm going to get screwed here somewhere. And even though it's a mild, tiny limiting belief, in order for you to live the life you intended, you had to understand that limiting belief. And once you said, there is no problem, I'm going to be fine, everything's going to work out, once you did that, then that limiting belief is now greatly reduced in intensity. And so the phone doesn't need to not work. Now it can function properly. And you can be back on your way, and the universe proves to you that you can travel anywhere you want easily and effortlessly. That there is no need to worry about things. And you do travel easily and effortlessly. Right? But there's a time residual belief there. Yeah. And you can see people in the airport having terrible times. You know, they're having great struggles. They're having all kinds of manifestation events. And some of them are getting it and some of them aren't. Some of them are fighting against the manifestation event and some of them are saying, all right, I give up. Whatever it is, it'll be fine. We'll work it out. Right? Yeah. So everyone's getting everything they need based on their vibration, which they are creating themselves through their vibration. Maybe not consciously, but they're creating it. Everything that happens to you is happening for you. It's all your creation. Every iota of your life is created through your vibration. And you think you don't have that much control over your vibration, but you do. You have way more than you think. Yep.
Yeah. There was a, because that brought, I knew exactly what was going on because I kind of resisted the state of things by thinking I should have stayed for the rest of the week, et cetera, and trying to, looking at the conditions as wrong. And I was aware that I was doing that.
Yeah, and doubting so that your decisions
kind of put me back on track.
Yeah,
yeah. Right. So I'm back on track a little bit. And anyway, it was a funny and cool manifestation event, really.
Excellent. Yes. Well, you can all see how far that you've come in the time that you've been working on this sort of information. And as you incorporate lightness and fun and interest and curiosity in your life, then the manifestation events still come, but they're easier, they're lighter, they're quicker, because how manifestation events work is first works with the one negative thought. And if you can process that negative thought and get back into being in alignment, well, then there's no need for any other manifestation event, because you see that the limiting belief was triggered by some event in the some condition that happened, and you had the negative thought. Work on the thought. Work on the thought. If you don't really work on the thought, then some little tiny thing will come up in your reality. Then you can work on that manifestation event. But if you argue against that manifestation event, they get bigger and bigger and bigger. But if you adopt this attitude about fun around all these things, that it's nothing personal, that doesn't mean anything about you, it's just showing you a limiting belief. Big deal. That attitude of fun helps you see it clearly because you're not resisting it, allows you to process the belief internally, and moves you to the next level, the next level. So manifestations will always come, and how you deal with them, if you can deal with them in fun, then you will get the benefit of the event. If you deal with it in resistance, then you will just get more intense manifestation events. That's all that is. Very easy to do. Adopt this attitude of fun around everything and everyone, no matter what's happening. And everything will move much easier and lighter for you. And you will be more often in the state of alignment. And in that state of alignment where you're agreeing with your inner self, everything that you intended to live prior to your birth will flow magically into your reality. And with that, we are complete. Mm.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of Joshua Live. If you have a question you would like Joshua to answer on the show, send us a message on Facebook at www.facebook.com/teachingsofjoshua. As always, remember that you are loved more than you can imagine by more than you could ever count. We'll see you next time.